This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will meet and will broadcast their meeting's results. Their penultimate rankings will drop this evening. What are we looking at? By the way, I will be on BetMGM tonight at 8 p.m. I'll be with Brad Evans and Ryan Horvat reacting to those rankings as they are released. At 8 o'clock when that show begins.
Do you get angry on that show? I'm just curious.
No, not really.
Okay, all right.
But usually on that show, when I say a thing, Ryan doesn't go, yeah, no, Rob, you're lying about the thing that you're saying now.
They just let you go and say, all right, thanks for coming on, Rob. And then they move on to
something
else. They
go, that's an excellent point from a guy who very clearly knows ball. That's why we have this guy on.
I'll have to tune in to hear those exact words because, I mean, it's awesome that you're on a national show, but you're not angry there because your passion is what's appreciated here and I'm sure is what's helped you to win three SCBA Star Awards. And so why not bring that passion to the national show? So if I tune in tonight and things don't go the way that you think they should as a knower of ball, you're going to get angry on that show.
Oh, right? For sure. I have, but it's just that usually I'm right, so... You know, there's not much to get angry about.
I'm just guessing those guys probably would back off.
I've gotten angry before.
Okay.
One of them made Horvat. Actually, Horvat, who is he's a bro now. You know, like Ryan and I text back and forth all the time. Horvat
must be nice.
A week and a half ago, made a Saints pass interference joke, and I got a little heated. College football playoff ranking set to drop this evening. Here is what we know as of right now. As of right now, the Oregon Ducks are going to be the number one seed tonight. That is not going to change.
That is the only definite thing.
No, I think it's pretty definite that Texas is going to be number two. I think it is pretty definite SMU is going to be number three because they are projected to win the ACC, or at least that is the role they have found themselves in all year long. And I think it is, and by the way, this is my bracket as it stands right now. This is not the one, two, and three, and four. This is where I think they are going to be seated based on if the season ended tonight, which it doesn't, based on tonight's rankings. I think that when the rankings drop out tonight, if we were filling in a bracket, Oregon would be the one seed. Texas would be the two seed, winning the Southeastern Conference. I also think they will be the two seed tonight. The number three seed will likely be the SMU Mustangs. They will be projected to win this game. Now, looking at the BetMGM odds for this weekend's conference championship game, and I am working on pulling those up, right now. Okay.
All right. According to Adam Schefter, NFL is suspending Texas linebacker Azeez Ashayir 3 games for the hit he delivered Sunday to Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that checks out.
That sounds kind of... A lot of people were thinking that they were going to hammer it home a little. That's probably not a good choice of words. More by giving him a bigger suspension.
I mean, 3 games for a hit's pretty big. If you didn't see it, Ashayir came across and Trevor Lawrence had, I think, in my ever so humble opinion, Definitely started his slide already. And Al-Shaair knocked the absolute tar out of Trevor Lawrence. Put him in the fencer's pose. Definitely gave him a concussion, as that news now breaking on ESPN. Breaking news brought to you by BetMGM. Be a better better, be smarter, beat the books. And the BetQL Network, home of Bet for the Cycle, every Saturday from noon to 4 with myself and former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker. It's the BetQL Network, presented by our friends at BetQL and BetMGM. Yeah, I mean, that's Azeez Al-Shaair is of course going to catch a suspension. A lot of folks thought it might have been closer to 5. They're going to hit him with 3. I think 3 is probably very fair.
Will he appeal?
I don't think it's going to matter. That was A, brutal, and B, Al-Shaair has a history of this type of behavior. He has been fined or suspended on, I think, 5 or 6 different occasions during his career. This is a dude who didn't just like snap and make a mistake. This is a cat who, I mean, not to be dramatic, but committed assault. Like, was there anyone in America who did not see that Trevor Lawrence was like, it wasn't like he had just initiated the slide either. Like, he was well past the start of slide. He was sliding enough that, like, I understood while the Jags fans were trying to beat his ass afterwards.
He did come in with forearm.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely looked intentional. I don't see how it wasn't.
If you were going to put together if you asked AI to put together a GIF of doing everything wrong, it would have been that hit. It would have been that. That's one thing. And then did you read his apology note, by the way? It's got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. He said, and let me pull up the apology note. I'd like to read it to you because it's absolutely hilarious. All right? Not hilarious, pathetic, but hilarious because of how pathetic it is. He said, and I quote, "I've always played the game as hard as I could, never with the intent to harm anyone, and anybody that knows me knows that. My goal is to hit you as hard as I can, and then I pray you're still able to get up and play the next play. And when the game is over, go home to your family unharmed, because it's not personal, it's just competition. We are both trying to do the same thing, which is provide for our families. I genuinely didn't see him sliding until it was too late, and it all happens in the blink of an eye. To Trevor, I genuinely apologize to you for what ended up happening." Slick, yeah? "I don't apologize I did it. I apologize for what happened. Before the game, we spoke and I told you how it was great to see you back out on the field and wished you well. I would never want to see any player hurt because of a hit I put on them, especially one that's deemed late or unnecessary. To the rest of his teammates, I can definitely understand you having his back and defending him in a situation like that. To the rest of the people who I've been called every single name in the book, from reporters with their hands ready for a story to find them... to find their villain, to a racist and Islamophobic fans and people, you don't know my heart nor my character, which I don't need to prove to any of you. God knows my intentions, and anyone who has ever been a teammate or a friend of mine knows my heart." There's nothing in the world.
Okay, I was unaware of his religion. All I saw is that was not a good hit. That was bad, and it looked intentional, and he should be suspended.
There are very few things that aggravate me more than when someone commits I don't want to call it a crime. When someone commits a misdeed against somewhere
else. Off the football field, that's definitely battery.
100%. Nothing drives me crazier than when, and I'm sorry, it's just a personal stance. Nothing drives me crazier than when someone does something that is blatantly and obviously a misdeed against someone else, and they immediately run to, Well, actually, I'm a man of faith, and you don't know my character, and God loves me, so I'm off the hook. No. I hope all those things are true. I hope they make your life better. But you're not getting off the hook by going, actually, I'm a religious guy. I don't care. In this case, I don't care. You quite literally, by engaging in a hit that was not just late, not just unnecessary, but was exceptionally dangerous. And everybody knew it. Don't tell me that was a blink of an eye hit. I see quarterbacks make that slide all the time and guys pull off of it. And if you're incapable of pulling off of that hit, then you don't need to be out there playing football, my guy. Then you are not in control of your body enough to justify being a professional football player. Trey Texas Show said, that sounds like the apology of someone would say that doesn't know the consequences of their actions. Man, that's it. That's it. I don't think that this young cat, would I make this a big deal if it was anybody else? Yes. Yes, I would. Because somebody just texted the show and said, somebody just texted the show, Rob, obvious Clemson homer, of course he's defending Trevor Lawrence. Knock it off, dude. Knock it off.
Wait, now it's all clear. I didn't see it before.
Yep, I know. Rob Brown, noted Clemson homer, just mad that my guy TL16 got, assaulted on the football
field. Trust me, he's not. He could not exist where he lives if he were.
That's correct. I wouldn't be married the way I'm married if so. Look, man, I don't know what to tell you. It's a blatantly bad hit. Quarterbacks run and slide like that all the time, and you're the guy who delivered that hit. Of course you are taking a punishment. Of course you are taking a suspension. It is going to be accompanied, as it should be, by a lofty fine. That can't be allowed. I will acknowledge that over the past couple of years, even I have gotten frustrated at times with the way that NFL officials have legislated hits on the football field. This whole thing of, if you're a pass rusher and you make a swat at the ball and you miss the ball and you hit the quarterback in the head, that's 15 yards. Like, I don't love that. I don't love that. I don't love that tackling a quarterback below the knees when have you seen what offensive linemen do now? They know that. If you start to beat an offensive lineman, what do? They just push you to the ground because you can't tackle from down there, right? Like, I think we have over-legislated. I am all for player safety. I am all for sustaining the health and well-being of players. I think it absolutely is and should remain a priority for the league. But what you just did, my guy, this hit that you put on Trevor Lawrence, and I wouldn't care if it was Trevor Lawrence, if it was Patrick Mahomes, if it was Lamar Jackson, if it was Tua Tagovailoa, I don't care who you put that hit on. You know that's a dirty hit. Everyone in America knows that's a dirty hit. Of course you're catching the suspension. If you criticize me, you're Islamophobic. No, bro, I acknowledge that there are a lot of Islamophobic people out there. I acknowledge that there are probably a lot of people out there who just see your name and think bad things. And I'm sorry about that. That's atrocious. That's awful. Shouldn't be that way.
First, I heard of his religion.
I'm not saying Lonzo is that way.
No, I wonder if there are a lot of people that way. And him bringing it into that, into his apology, as you were pointing out.
I think there are absolutely a lot of people out there that are like that. Do I think it is a majority of the country? No. But we have 330 million people in the country. There's a large percentage of people who are going to hate the guy just because of his name, religion, and background. Sure, I will acknowledge, and I will even go so far as to say it would not shock me in the least if he has actually been harassed because of his religion and his name. Sure. But in this case, my guy, you did something very wrong. You did something very inappropriate. You did something very dangerous. So no, you don't get to cover this up by going, oh, some people are Islamophobic. Yes, they are. But what you did is bad. You don't get to cover this up by going, oh, actually, I'm a man of deep faith. I don't care. Apparently, I don't care. That has nothing to do with this.
He attempted to choke Tom Brady. According to what I'm seeing.
Well, that's where it all started. That's why nobody likes you.
That's why, right there. I found it.
I don't remember every incident, but I know this cat has been fined or suspended like a number of times. Like a number of times. So not only was it a dangerous hit, not only was it an unacceptable hit, not only was it a hit that everyone knows was inappropriate, was illegal. I mean, at the end of the day, it's very clearly an illegal hit, and it's illegal for exactly the reasons that you just put on full display for America. You literally endangered Trevor Lawrence's life for no reason at all. You don't get to go, oh, Islamophobia, oh, racism, oh, actually, I'm a man of God. No, that's fine. You better go say some penance in church then, because what you did was a crime against football.
I don't think they do that. Okay, according to Ian Rappaport, NFL VP of Football Ops John Runyan said, your lack of sportsmanship and respect for the game of football and all those who play, coach, and enjoy watching it is troubling and does not reflect the core values of the NFL.
Very fair. It's a pattern of behavior. If it was a hit, like this was the first incident this guy's had, then maybe in that spot you would go, all right, man, hit him with like a $20,000 fine, hope he learned the lesson, and just put him on notice. I think you should start tracking this stuff the way that they track on sportsmanlike conducts, right? In a game, you get one, you get a second one, you're ejected, whatever. Start doing this too. Hey, man, your second hit like that, you're out 3 games. Third hit, you're out 5 games. Fourth hit, you're out half a season. Fifth hit, you're out for a full season. Sixth hit, you're out of the league. Like, there cannot be room for any sort of oopsie-daisy in this. You get one oopsie. You get one oopsie that comes with a fine. Everything out after that, you're missing time and paychecks. Stop with the excuses. Stop with the crap. You can't do that. All right, now when we come back, let's take a look at what the bracket would look like if the bracket comes out to the way that I think the rankings are going to drop tonight. We will do that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. We have our AP poll. The AP poll has been, by and large, pretty reflective of what the playoff rankings are going to turn into. So, using the AP poll and what I think you are going to end up seeing out of tonight's rankings of the college football playoff, here is what I think we are looking at tonight. Oregon's going to be the number one seed. That might be the only thing that is for sure. I believe the champion of the Southeastern Conference is going to get the second seed and a first round bye. As of right now, let's work on the assumption that that is the Texas Longhorns. The number three seed, if SMU knocks off Clemson, will belong to the Ponies. If they do not, then the three seed will go to, likely assuming they win the Mountain West Conference, the Boise State Broncos. But for the time being, let's just pick all the favorites winning. No disrespect, Clemson fans. If it was the other way around, I'd put you in this spot. It is a hypothetical for the sake of illustration. SMU is a 2.5-point favorite over Clemson Saturday night in Charlotte, North Carolina. If SMU wins the ACC, then they would be the 3 seed. If Boise State wins the Mountain West, they would be, assuming SMU wins the ACC, the 4th highest ranked conference champion. They would end up being the 4 seed and catching the bye. Now, Boise State could still end up with the number 12 seed if the Big 12 champion somehow ends up being ranked higher. But as those two teams are ranked number 12 and below, there is no guarantee of that. Remember, in our AP poll, Boise State is number 10. Arizona State is number 12. If Arizona State, if these were the playoff rankings, if Arizona State was to knock off Iowa State, their opponent in the Big 12 championship game this year, and if that team were to jump Boise State, because Boise State doesn't move up with another unranked Mountain West opponent, then the Big 12 would get that last seed, and Boise State would go down to number 12. But that is not written in stone yet, obviously. Assuming everything else stays the same, this is what your bracket could end up looking like. The 8-9 game would be the number 9 Tennessee Volunteers on the road going to play the Ohio State Buckeyes, who I think would get in at number 8 and host a game. Of course, the winner of that game, the 8-9 game, is the team that would end up taking on the Oregon Ducks, the number 1 overall seed. As long as Ohio State is ranked in the committee's top 7, which I think they will be, they will likely host a first-round game. The 12-5 game, if the bracket ended today, would be the Arizona State Sun Devils, the Big 12 champs, sneaking in that final seed. The Arizona State Sun Devils taking on the number 5 Penn State Nittany Lions. The winner of the 12-5 game would get number 4 Boise State. The 11-6 matchup, this is where it gets very interesting, because that 11 spot would possibly end up being the spot that an at-large team from the pool of at-large teams would slip into. You are looking at the possibility of Miami as a one-loss ACC team getting into that spot. You are looking at the possibility of Alabama getting that spot. You are looking at the possibility of Ole Miss getting that spot. And you are looking at the possibility of South Carolina getting that spot. And this is where that discussion comes into play. What is the criteria that the playoff committee is going to view as the most important this week? Is it heads up wins? Because if it is, South Carolina's bounced at the get. Is it strength of schedule? Because if so, I would make the argument South Carolina is the selection committee spot. Is it fewer losses? Because if so, that's Miami with a weaker schedule, but only 2 losses compared to 3 for South Carolina, Alabama, and Ole Miss. Who slides into that number 11 spot? My guess is Alabama. Now, the University of Miami, despite not having success or winning any hardware in a very long time, Miami is a national brand as well. And by inviting a national brand with a pair of losses in the University of Miami, including a bad one at Syracuse, but hey, here we are. By inviting Miami, the playoff committee has done a couple of things. Number 1, they've invited an interesting team. Number two, if there is one thing that is more important than getting the national brands into the conversation, it is taking advantage of the hype created by players. And whether you like it or not, there are very few quarterbacks, honestly, if any nationally, that have generated more on-the-field buzz than Cam Ward, the quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes. So if you put Miami in that spot, number one, you get to say, see, regular season losses do matter. Whether they do or not, I don't know. None of us can. Only the people in that room can. But you get to say, regular season losses still hurt you. And that's why we went with the team that has two instead of three. Number two, it lets you put a national brand into the mix that carries along with that national brand the hype of a quarterback in Cam Ward that everybody is paying attention to this season. And number three, and I don't know how much, if any, this matters, but number three, it allows you to get two ACC teams in. And at a point in time where the ACC, at least for a while, though, have you noticed that the demolishing of the ACC conversation has kind of taken a bit of a back seat since the football season started? And I mean, that's not a shock. I told you that it would, right? I said, once we get boys out on the field snapping the football, all of the conference drama, all of the conference expansion, all of that conversation is going to be paused. We're gonna walk away from that, because at the end of the day, it's the exact same reason that no matter what it is, for what reason it is this year, that everybody said, I'm not watching football no more. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Everybody comes back. We love football too much. We love this game too much. So at a point in time where the ACC could very well descend into madness this offseason, you put in a second Atlantic Coast Conference team in this spot, and you get to go, see, not only do regular season losses matter, we get a national brand, we get maybe the most talked about quarterback in college sports this year, and you get to kind of play nice with the ACC for a minute and hope that they don't blow this thing up and convolute it any further by splitting off into their own thing, or watching, you know, three-fourths of their teams decide that they're going to pay the exit fee and jettison to the next level. The more I think about it, the more I can make the argument that Miami ends up in this spot. Not Alabama, not Mississippi, and not South Carolina. South Carolina has, sure, the hype of Lenora Sellers, who is absolutely busted onto the scene, and they do have the Southeastern Conference brand behind them. But if there's a three-loss team from the SEC that's going to go, the TV eyes matter. It's going to be Alabama. I think this spot in this 11-6 contest comes down to Alabama or Miami. Taking on number six, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's absolutely getting in. That game will get the winner of SMU, will get SMU the three seed, assuming the favorites all win. And finally, the 10 seed would go to the University of University of Indiana. Indiana would take on the University of Georgia. The Hoosiers would come on down to Athens to go between the hedges and play the Dogs. So this creates a world where your last two in are the winner of the Big 12 game, which I think right now we are playing the game with just picking the favorites from the weekend, would be the Arizona State Sun Devils, who will not get in with an Iowa State win. Iowa State would. But the Arizona State Sun Devils. You would have Miami versus Alabama as the who deserves it more according to the committee contenders, which would leave the loser of Iowa State and Arizona State out. It would leave possibly, though, with just two losses. Everything we said about Miami is true for SMU if they lose the ACC title game, with one exception. They don't have that one player. They don't have that must-watch guy. They don't have a guy that you can say, well, if you don't watch SMU play, you're missing out because so-and-so goes bananas. But if SMU loses to Clemson, SMU might eat up a spot as well. They may still get in as a two-loss team over Alabama and or over South Carolina. So that's a game to pay attention to as well. I would go with, if you are South Carolina, I think you're just outright hoping for SMU to win this game. And then you just got to hope the committee is more impressed with you than Miami. Ole Miss, South Carolina will be out as well. So that's just kind of my thoughts on how this whole thing might possibly shape up based on what we see tonight. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Join us on our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitch. Kyle jumped in the chat. He said, do you think the committee gives any weight to the Bush League penalties that cost Carolina the LSU game? I'll tell you what I said earlier in the show, Kyle. And this is just me being me. Sorry about it. Last year, the committee said, we do not value what your team looks like without your starting quarterback. They did so negatively for Florida State University. FSU lost Jordan Travis. They, despite losing Jordan Travis, went on the road and knocked off the Florida Gators, and who was it, Louisville, if I recall correctly, to win the ACC with an undefeated record. But they lost Jordan Travis, their starting quarterback, in the process. And in losing Jordan Travis, the committee basically said, you're not the same team without your starting quarterback. And so they bumped FSU and made room for Alabama to climb in at number four. Would the committee be willing to look at that LSU game and say, you know, Carolina was cooking the Tigers. Carolina was cooking the Tigers until Lenora Sellers went out. And once Sellers went out, then the officiating crew lost their mind and South Carolina could not fight back, though they might have been able to if Lenora Sellers was 100%, right? If he was fully healthy, would this have gone the other way? The answer is, I'd like to say probably not. Probably not, because I do not think, even though they literally did it last year, in this case, and this is, I think, the biggest frustration that most of us have, is that it feels like logic is applied inconsistently across the college football playoff selection committee, right? Like last year, Florida State got bumped because everybody said, oh, well, you know, without their starting quarterback, they just can't win, which led to the war cry that I ran around with my hair on fire about last year, led to the war cry of, okay, so what you're saying is, the imaginary hypothetical games that you played in your noggin are more important than the actual games that got played on the field, right? Because Florida State played 13 of them, including a pair of them without Jordan Travis. They won every one of them, including Florida and the ACC championship game. And you still bumped them out. What that says to me is the imaginary games that you play in your head are more important than the results on the field. And so they've already set precedent that they are willing to overlook certain results if they basically have a team that excels at or fails, our favorite phrase in college football, the eye test. The subjective eye test. I watched this team. I watched with my eyeballs. And I think that this team is capable of X, is better than X, is worse than Y, whatever. I don't think they are going to give you that benefit of the doubt. This is why I keep coming back to what I've been harping on, to the point now that I'm probably close to as sick of saying it as you guys are of hearing it. This is why I think it goes back to the brand conversation. The college football 12-team playoff was set up for one reason and one reason alone. Cash money, paper, cheddar, cheese, whatever you want to call it. It was set up to make the most people the most money possible. They didn't set up a 12-team bracket because they truly believe that there's a chance any given year that number 8 can beat number 1 and win the natty. They set up the 12-team playoff because it took us from 3 games to, what do we got? 4 in the first round, 4 in the second round for 8. 2 more in the second. So you're, I'm real bad at math. 9, 10, 11. So 11 games. We have 11 games now. We went from 3 to 11. Do you know how much capacity that is when you have 11 football games that you can sell advertising in? 11 football games that you can go put on the market? 11 football games that you can rake in money from? That is, and I'm not a big math guy, so I don't know, but I believe that is what the experts refer to as a ton of money. That's why we're here. And so again, when it has been proven, and this is something I have, even I have had to accept over the years, at the end of the day, when Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, any of those teams are on TV, the ratings go up inevitably and consistently. When Uga or Bucky or Neyland or whoever else is on TV, more people tune in. The reason we have a 12-team playoff is to get more people to tune in. So would the committee look at what happened to South Carolina at the end of the LSU game and effectively not hold their first of 3 losses against them? The answer to me is no. I don't think so. Because again, and it comes down to, and maybe one day I'm proven wrong about all this. And honestly, in a weird way, I kind of hope I am. I kind of hope I am. But it comes down to, for me, it comes down to, you got a shot to get Alabama in if you're the committee. You get a shot to get in a brand that you know sells, to get in a brand that you know makes money, to get in a brand that is going to up the television viewership just by existing, just by being there. You're going to find a way to get them in. I understand right now that Gamecock fans are fighting to find every reason to convince the committee to come off of it and let them go play it in the playoffs. And I get it. You are, down the stretch, the hottest team in college football.
If you don't make the playoff as South Carolina, is it a failed year?
Not this year. I think we can already declare this year a success, can't we?
I think so.
We started this year off asking fans, Clemson fans, Carolina fans, Carolina Panther fans, fans of other schools. We started this year asking the question, what are your highest and lowest expectations for the season? What is the lowest mark that you would be willing to say this was a failure of a year? What is the lowest mark that you would be willing to say this was a successful year? Do you know, because I kept them, do you know how many South Carolina fans last year didn't call in and say that making the playoffs would be a success or a failure? Do you know how many South Carolina fans called in and said that they believe the Gamecocks would be simply competing for a playoff spot? Zero. None. Nada. Nine. Nilch. None. Not a single South Carolina. This is absolutely a successful year for the Gamecocks. And I get it. Because it is a successful year, and because you are knocking on the door, South Carolina fans are scrambling for any argument that they can come up with that would convince the committee to let you in. The problem is, every argument that you have, Alabama has a counter for. Well, our schedule's tougher. Cool, we beat you straight up. Well, you lost to Oklahoma. You got dog walk. We dog walked Oklahoma. Cool, we beat you heads up. And when you get into the abstracts, the branding, the TV revenue, the ratings, yada, 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 Bama's got all that weight in their corner too. And now you add in the fact that there is, at least to me, and you know I can't stand them, but there is at least a compelling reason to put in Miami. And if SMU loses a close game to Clemson, that last spot could be eaten up by the ponies as well. This is going to be fun tonight.
When you hear that time, sadly, you know that our time together is over for today. Time for What the X. The first thing that's Xing Rob Brown is Rob Manfred.
Okay. I'm actually going to get into this tomorrow. I was going to get into it today, but college football is king. There is a story going around right now that Rob Manfred, who, by the way, got flowers from me a couple of weeks ago because he proposed ending blackouts in Major League Baseball. Basically, creating a partnership with one of the streaming services where Major League Baseball would be able to provide in-market fans for a subscription cost a ticket to watch every game streamed live at home. I thought that's one of the greatest things Rob Manfred's done. I hate the fact that on Wednesdays at 2:30 in the afternoon, I can't watch the Braves because, again, I live 2.5 hours from the stadium. Rob, I can't pop in the car and head over for a 2 o'clock Tuesday first pitch. But with this, I would go pay my $20 a month, and I get to watch every home game that's not a national broadcast. Well, I was on board. Then today, it has been floated that Rob Manfred is discussing, in order to create excitement, a massive change to baseball rules by implementing the golden at-bat. Basically, during a baseball game, and the rules on this have not been legislated yet, obviously, because it's a dumb thing that's never been mentioned. But basically, during any given at-bat, one at-bat, any given game, you as a team can elect to send up any batter that you want for the next at-bat. Why are you applauding that?
Because I would watch that.
You wouldn't. Stop lying.
I absolutely would watch it at least once.
Yeah, once. And then you go, oh, well, there's 26 other outs that aren't that. So I'm out. No, you wouldn't. This isn't going to get anybody new to watch. Now, the reason they did it was Guardians-Yankees last year. We get into the playoff. It's game four, whatever it was. Up to the dish, down a run comes Juan Soto. Juan Soto goes, yeah, the thought here would be, hey, what if we get to the bottom of the 11th and nobody's hitting the ball? And a team goes, you know what? Screw this. We're over it. And they pull their golden at bat and they send up their best hitter, their all-star. Stop. Stop.
Juan Soto.
You can't manufacture the magic of that Soto at bat. The magic of that Soto at bat was that it just happened to be that Juan Soto was the guy coming to the dish. Stop. Rob.
Okay, the next thing that's X in is stay humble.
No. What are we staying humble about? Is that just,
it's a soccer thing. So I thought you would know. It's trending. I mean, it was Xing earlier.
And, stay humble.
Yes.
I don't know what we're talking about.
It's okay. Well, I mean, listen. You know, I expected you to know because
if you're a handsome devil, be proud of being a handsome devil. If you're a rich son of a gun, be proud being a just whatever, dude.
All right. The next thing that's Xing is Deshaun Watson. I'm sure you know about him.
Yeah, I mean, I know who he is. I know Jameis Winston is out there. Jameis Winston. Melting together my Browns quarterbacks. Jameis Winston going out there yesterday, throwing for almost 500 yards and four touchdowns, and also throwing two touchdowns to the other team. And yet, Lonzo's still a step up from what Deshaun Watson was doing.
Which is exactly why he is Xing. And finally, Florida State is Xing.
Y'all have a great day. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed it. They got a bunch of new coaches coming in.
Right. That's why.
They got Gene Chizik.
DJ Uiagalelei is coming back. Woo!
Have a good day. See you back here tomorrow. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate.